Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of TechNet Radio in our Build Your Hybrid Cloud series. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a senior technical evangelist at Microsoft for our cloud and enterprise platform solutions. And I have back with me our good friend, Andy Serwich. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
Great, great. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, not a problem. Always happy to be here.
Sure thing, yeah. And Andy, before we get started, did you want to give everybody a quick intro of yourself?
Sure. And again, my name's Andy Serwich. I'm a senior cloud services administrator for the Trivalent Group. Trivalent Group's a services provider based in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area. And we provide products and services that help our customers manage, access, protect, and store their data. That's kind of our business mantra. And, you know, we kind of do that via a number of different methodologies, whether it's full-blown managed services, we come in and manage your IT, or provide some cloud services, some colo services, ISP. We kind of do it all. You know, that's kind of what Trivalent does. In regards to myself, again, senior cloud services admin, working with hypervisors all day, Hyper-V, VMware, cloud services, also a Hyper-V MVP as well. So I really get mixed into the virtualization space and kind of the cloud space all at the same time.
Awesome, awesome. And yeah, so today's topic in our episode is talking about disaster recovery in the cloud. And I imagine you do quite a bit of disaster recovery planning with your data centers and your hosted solutions and whatnot. Is that right?
Oh, sure do. Sure do. I mean, that's always a topic of conversation because, you know, especially as people start offloading their workloads into data centers that they may not necessarily have control of, they always want to make sure that they have a second location that they can fall back to, you know, in the event that Mother Nature does come through and kick your rear end, right?
So, yeah, definitely. You know, and if a company has more than one location, disaster recovery is, you know, like you said, a great fit. They can use that second location to as a backup site, a DR site for their first. But you know, companies that only have a single location, it's kind of a challenge for, right? I mean, a second DR site can be really expensive from a traditional standpoint.
Oh, yeah. You got to pay for lighting, cooling, the space, the racks, servers, storage. The expenses start to add up really, really fast.
Particularly when you think about it, that you're really only using that DR site when you have a disaster, right? Aside from that, it's sitting there just keeping everything in sync between your two locations.
Right, exactly. It's really hard to justify to the bean counters that, hey, we need to buy all this equipment, but, oh, by the way, it's just going to sit there.
Right. Well, Andy, I know a few weeks ago you were at TechEd down in Houston, right? And you heard some of the news about what we're doing with Azure and disaster recovery, with Azure site recovery, being able to use Azure as your second DR site. Was there a lot of buzz about that? Were people pretty excited about Azure site recovery?
Yeah, I heard it all throughout the week. You know, they announced it at the keynote, and you just kept hearing all this buzz on it throughout the week. And one of my buddies on Twitter, you know, their tweet kind of said it perfectly. You get a DR, you get a DR, you get a DR. DR for everyone, right? So that's
right.
You know, it's really cost effective if you look at the pricing out on the Azure calculator. And again, talking about cost and what it costs to spin up a second location, Azure makes it so darn economical that, you know, it doesn't make sense not to do it.
Right. And I've actually heard some similar feedback. Customers have been really excited about the option to be able to have that DR site on demand in the cloud, pay for compute charges when they need it, and pay minimal cost just for replicating stuff when they up there when they're not in a disaster recovery state. But interestingly enough, several customers have also mentioned it as a migration strategy as well, which kind of makes some sense. If you have these VMs on premises and you're thinking, you know, some of them you want to protect from a disaster recovery standpoint, others perhaps you want to think about migrating up to the cloud as the primary place that they run, you can replicate them up to the cloud with Azure Site Recovery. And then for the ones that you want to migrate, you fail them over to the cloud and you can replicate them back the other way if you want to, I suppose, or just, you know, once they're migrated, deprovision them in your on-premises environment.
Yep. Again, kind of all about flexibility. The more flexibility we have, the better we're off, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Well, What do you say? Does it make sense to head over to the lab and kind of walk through some of how Azure Site Recovery works with everyone today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, great. Well, I'll meet you over in the lab in a few minutes.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, Andy, well, here we are over in our lab, and we're in one of our browsers, and we're just on the Microsoft Azure homepage. And right now, we're just looking at the main page for site recovery, which is a really nice page. If you go out to azure.microsoft.com and go into our documentation for site recovery, if you're interested in learning more, you'll see there's lots of great tutorials and guides and step-by-steps and whatnot for being able to take advantage of site recovery. Now, one of the things that some people may not be aware is site recovery right now is in preview, right? As of this recording date, is currently a preview feature. So like most preview features, you need to make sure that you've signed up for that preview. And so if you have an Azure subscription right from the main Azure site, you can click on My Account and go over to your usage and billing portal, and then it'll prompt you to log in if you haven't previously logged in. And when the usage and billing portal comes up, then we'll see that there's a preview features tab that lists all of the various features that someone can sign up for that are currently in preview. And as soon as that list of preview features comes up, we'll have, as we scroll down here, Azure Site Recovery as one of those. I must have already signed up for it, so it doesn't appear here, apparently. So if it doesn't appear in your list, you're fine. But if you do see it, you can click the Sign Up button, and it'll get you signed up for that preview feature. Once you're signed up and it's active for your Azure subscription, you can go over to the Azure Management Portal. So I'll just click on the Portal link, and that'll take us over to our Azure Management Portal for our subscription. And I'm going to, over in our Azure Management Portal, just drop down on the side panel over to Recovery Services. So we'll see that over on the side panel. And under Recovery Services, you'll see existing backup vaults and recovery vaults as well. And in order to create your site recovery vault, it's pretty easy. Like most things in Azure, from the portal, we go down to our bottom toolbar, click on New, and under Recovery Services, we'll see Site Recovery Vault listed there. And when we click on Quick Create, it'll basically ask us for a unique name of our vault, and then a location in the world of which Azure data center region you want to store that vault in. And this gives a little bit of thought to your planning, right, as far as region goes, because if you're a company that's based in maybe the eastern half of the United States, from a disaster recovery standpoint, you might want your vault based in a region that's further out, maybe the western U.S., something along those lines, so that you have a little bit of distance, right, between your primary site and your DR site. So although you might be in the mode normally of provisioning things in Azure in a region that's close to where your users are, this is an example for disaster recovery of where you may want to provision that DR vault in a remote region so that it's further away. And if a natural disaster happens, you don't have to risk having a widespread disaster that takes out your production facility and your DR site. I'm sure a lot of the customers you talk to, Andy, distance is between data center locations is a big concern for their DR planning, right?
Yeah, it always is. And I mean, I think a lot of that stems from the fact that certain industry regulations require X amount of distance between, you know, DR locations. So, you know, given the flexibility that Azure provides in this arena, you have a lot of options.
Yep, definitely, definitely. Well, I've already got a site recovery vault created, so I'm going to cancel out of this page. And over on our recovery services page, you'll see my Azure site recovery vault listed. So if I drill into the properties of that vault, on the dashboard of the vault, if we go over to this little cloud with a lightning bolt, it's basically a getting started page on our dashboard, it will give us step-by-step, really nice step-by-step links for getting everything set up for Azure Site Recovery. And it actually gives us a couple choices, because Azure Site Recovery has the ability to do disaster recovery a couple different ways. You can do the replication directly to Azure and use Azure as your disaster recovery site, which is the scenario that we were talking about a little earlier. Or if you do have two separate data center locations yourself already, you can use the second option between two on-premises sites and use Azure Site Recovery to orchestrate the replication between those sites, but not actually store the replicated copy of your data. So that's nice, because in that case, your failover plan is handled up in Azure. It's immediately off-site from any of your data center locations, but your actual data still replicates between your two sites. So in our case, we're going to use that first scenario, replicating between an on-premises site and Microsoft Azure. And you'll see, based on your scenario, your steps change a little bit. But for replicating up to Azure, we've got a little bit of steps, a few steps involved in configuring our vault. We have to, Azure Site Recovery uses certificates to securely authenticate from your on-premises virtualization servers running System Center 2012 R2 VMM and Windows Server Hyper-V. It uses certificates to authenticate up to the Azure Site Recovery Vault service. So the first thing is we have to set up an SSL certificate on our VMM box, and then using the Manage Certificate link or the Manage Certificate button at the bottom, we have to upload the public keys of that certificate into the Azure Vault so that it can properly authenticate our connection when it's coming in. In addition, under Manage Key, there's also a separate Vault key that's used when we're registering our VMM server in the Azure Site Recovery Vault. So those first few steps are pretty easy. We create a new SSL certificate, or we can purchase it from a public certificate provider. We install that certificate on our VMM server on premises, and we upload the public keys of that certificate to our Azure Vault, and then we copy the Vault key and use it when we're registering our VMM server up in the Vault. Second step is to actually prepare the VMM server on premises. So this is your System Center 2012 R2 Virtual Machine Manager server. There's a software component that needs to be installed on that server, the Microsoft Azure Site Recovery Provider that installs. And then when you go through the installation of that Site Recovery Provider, it'll prompt you for your vault information and your key information and get you registered up in the vault. In addition to installing software on the VMM server, there's also an agent that needs to be installed on each of your Hyper-V hosts. And today in the preview, we're supporting Hyper-V hosts that are running on Windows Server 2012 or Windows Server 2012 R2. So that component needs to be installed in each of the hosts. And you also have to have a storage account in Azure that you create that will ultimately be the location that you're receiving all of the replicated virtual hard disks up to in Azure. Once we've done those basic steps, what we'll see, those first few steps, is as we go over to our protected items area, once our VMM server is registered, I've already got one VMM server from my on-premises lab registered, it'll show us the private clouds that are configured on that VMM server on-premises. So I've got a developer's cloud, I've got a lab tester's cloud, and as you drill into the properties of those clouds, you can enable them for protection. So I've already enabled my lab tester's cloud for protection, and once you've enabled it for protection, you can use the Add Virtual Machines button to add in virtual machines that you wish to replicate. So right now I don't have any additional virtual machines in this particular test cloud that haven't already been enabled. I have one that's been enabled here already for replication. And what that's going to do is it's actually going to communicate down to your VMM server and through your VMM server to the Hyper-V hosts that are running that VM and set up Hyper-V replica from that Hyper-V host through the VMM server up to the Azure Storage Vault. Now, part of that Hyper-V replica configuration involves some additional settings like replication schedule and how frequently you wish to replicate changes and whatnot. Over on the Configure tab, you have the ability to set up those replication parameters. So you can set your target. In this case, because I'm setting up replication to Azure, Microsoft Azure is my target. And then it asks me which storage account. Out of the storage accounts that I've previously created in Azure, do I want to receive those replicated files? I can optionally turn on encryption of that replicated data so that when I'm not operating in disaster mode, when I'm just replicating my stuff up to the cloud, it's not only replicated, but it's stored in an encrypted format in that storage account for additional protection. And then my various common replica features or settings, like my copy frequency. How frequently do I want to replicate changes from on-premises up to Azure? So every, just like normal Hyper-V replica, I can do it every 30 seconds, every 5 minutes, every 15 minutes, depending on how many changes my VMs are experiencing and how much bandwidth I have available in my internet connection or my direct connection to Azure. We can also do things like specify a period of time that we want to retain recovery points so that when we fail over, we can do a failover to a particular point in time from a recovery standpoint, give us some additional flexibility, and to determine if we want to also have any application consistent snapshots. So if we're running inside these VMs, applications like SQL or whatnot, we want to make sure that the VM is using application safe snapshotting through volume shadow copy services, VSS, we can enable that as well. And then finally, our replication start time from a scheduling perspective. So we can either have replication start immediately as soon as we add a protected VM into our configuration, or we can schedule it to happen initially for the initial replication. We can schedule it to happen off hours. So pretty easy settings. We configure it. We configure our replication settings here. Over under virtual machines, we add in our virtual machines. And Azure Site Recovery does all of the legwork of getting it set up for us and keeping those VMs replicating on an ongoing basis. So setup's pretty straightforward. What do you think, Andy? Pretty easy?
Yeah, it's exceptionally easy. I mean, yeah, it used to be in the days of old when you had to do replication, it was really quite an elaborate setup. You know, it'd take days or weeks of planning to get it set up and running. And I mean, this really does it in, you know, a couple mouse clicks, really, when you get down to it. There's not much to mess up here from, you know, from the human perspective.
Right. Yep, you definitely. Know? Yeah. And there is a little bit more flexibility that we have as well with Azure Site Recovery. Once we've got everything set up, back on our main Vault page, you'll notice under resources, we also have the ability to do things like specify particular networks that we want to map back and forth. So for instance, if we wanted to make sure that a particular VM network on our VMM on-premises private cloud environment was being mapped to a particular appropriate network on Azure when the VMs fail over, we can do that mapping in advance. So you'll see here, I've actually mapped a particular network. So I've got my my LabDOM 01 on-premises virtual network being mapped to my LabNet 01 Azure virtual network. And this makes it really easy then that when I'm replicating my VMs, when I go to fail them over, it makes sure that my VMs are being placed on the appropriate virtual network up in Azure without having to use the exact same names in both places and all of that. It gives me a lot of flexibility from that standpoint. And then when it comes time to failover, as you said, can be pretty elaborate in and of itself because you may be replicating lots of different VMs over to your DR site or to Azure, in this case, as our DR site. And oftentimes when it comes time to failover, there's a particular order and perhaps even some custom actions that need to take place as part of that failover process. And that's where the recovery plans tab comes into place. Recovery plans allows us to create an orchestrated failover or recovery process. And you'll see I've got a recovery plan that I've previously created. So I clicked on the create button and gave my recovery plan a name. And when we drill into the properties of that recovery plan, you'll see that we have the ability to create these groups down on our button bar. And those groups can be used to group together our various VMs. So if we wanted to make sure that perhaps our VMs that are providing kind of the core infrastructure, perhaps Active Directory and DNS and whatnot, that they start up first during a failover, we'd create a group, put those VMs in that first group, and have that be the first group in our failover plan. And then if we had additional VMs, maybe SQL database VMs or whatnot, that were providing data access, we can add a second group, have that ordered after our first group, and put our database servers in that group. And then finally, if we had a group of application server VMs that need to talk to SQL Server and need to talk to Active Directory and DNS, we can create a third group and put those application servers in the third group and have that ordered last. So it provides us with a really easy, manageable way to do an orchestrated failover to make sure that each of the applications in those virtual machines come up in an appropriate order during failover. But you'll also see that we've got the ability to plug in manual actions as well. So we can have manual actions that are prompted for. We can add them before all groups, after all groups, and or whatnot, or we can put them after particular groups. So that gives us a lot of capability from that standpoint to be able to create a customized failover plan that brings the VMs up and then pauses at a point and asks someone to, okay, make sure you go in and test this VM perhaps as part of your failover plan to make sure that it's responding and it's come up fully before continuing on to the next group. So that's really useful. Once we have this failover plan in place, it becomes our critical plan up in Azure for performing failovers or for even testing those failovers. I know you've probably seen this too, Andy, that when you're doing disaster recovery planning, sometimes the hardest part of ensuring that you have an effective disaster recovery plan is being able to test that plan, right? Because usually most organizations have very little windows of time for being able to do DR testing. Usually it's once a quarter and it has to happen, you know, between Saturday night and Sunday morning over the weekends, right?
And that's about right. And once a quarter, that would be more than ideal than what most organizations get at this point in time.
Yep, definitely. And so with Azure Site Recovery, whether we're replicating between sites or replicating up to Azure, we have the ability not only to fail over using a particular defined recovery plan, but we can also do a test failover. And so if we do a test failover, basically what it allows us to do is to select a virtual network that we've set up just for testing. So this might be a virtual network, for instance, that's set up with no site-to-site connectivity to the outside world, right? It's an isolated virtual network up in Azure. We want to fail over a copy of the current VMs that are replicated. And in this little test isolated network, we want to be able to connect to those VMs and make sure that everything works correctly. We can do all that. The great news is we can do all that without having to shut down any of our production applications. Because we're testing in an isolated environment, we can actually do the testing right during the normal business day and make sure that everything comes up. And we could do tests not just once a quarter, we could do it once a week if we wanted to from that standpoint. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so let's go ahead and do a test just so we can see how that works. I'm going to select, let's see, I'll select one of my isolated Azure virtual networks, click OK, and it'll begin the process of starting that failover. And then if you'll notice it says starting the job, the failover and failback is launched as a set of jobs. So if we go over to our jobs tab, we'll see that that test failover is now in progress. And if I go and drill into the properties of that test failover, we can see what it's doing. So it's creating the test environment, it's doing the recovery plan failover, so it's getting that recovery plan started, and then we'll see it progress through each of the groups. And because this is a test failover, once it's gone through each of the groups, it's going to hang out right at the complete testing, as it's going to pause right there, because it wants to keep that test environment up so that we can then log into it through remote desktop or whatnot and test all of the applications in our isolated environment. And then once we're confident that our testing is complete, we'll be able to continue the process, and it'll basically undo. It'll clean up automatically after our test, and remove all of those resources that it did the test failover of. So pretty cool process. And then when you're ready to do a real failover, when you have a disaster, you just log into Azure and back on your recovery plans tab, instead of doing a test failover, you would do you click on the failover button, which is not there right now because we're doing a test failover, but there'd be a failover button down on the bottom toolbar that you'd click on, and that would fail everything over for real. Really, really easy and powerful and cost-effective to get started, too. And from a cost-effective standpoint, a lot of people ask, well, how much does Azure Site Recovery cost for all this great work? And the great news there is our Azure team's done a great job of giving us a really effective cost calculator to estimate those kinds of costs. If I go out to my pricing page and drop into the full calculator, you'll see that on the full calculator, Azure Site Recovery, as I scroll down here, is called out as a price item. And so we've got it broken out into two different categories, because as we saw a little earlier, you can replicate between your own sites and just use Azure Site Recovery to orchestrate the setup and the failover and failback process, or you can replicate up to Azure and use Azure as your DR site, where it's holding the replicated virtual machines as well. And so based on the number of virtual machines that you wish to replicate, you can just pump this up. It's in preview for replicating to Azure in our site recovery. There's a discount. So right now in preview, as of the date of this recording, each virtual machine is $27 per month. And then we can say if we had a handful of them, for $135 a month, we can basically implement a DR site for five of our critical virtual machines and not have to pay for any of that data center infrastructure. Each of the virtual machines also includes 100 gig worth of storage. But if you had more storage beyond that 100 gig, you would just factor that in to your storage costs as an additional amount of disk space for storing Azure disks. And we just slide this over and have it compute how much storage we need from that standpoint. So really cost effective, really easy to plan for your disaster recovery strategy. Well, what do you think, Andy? Are you excited? You think that gives customers some great options, some great cost effective options for disaster recovery?
Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, really, for some organizations in the SMB space and even some of the medium-sized business space, DR was something that was frequently deemed as out of reach fiscally for a lot of reasons. And, I mean, $135 a month to cover five VMs, I mean, that's dirt cheap when you're talking DR. I mean, I remember the cost of DR 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and it was astronomical compared to this.
Yep. And the other great thing is you could do multiple vaults in different locations throughout the world, right? And without ever having to build a physical data center or rent colo space or anything of that nature. And you can grow your need just on demand, just by going right out to the portal and adding in additional VMs and not having to worry about all of the traditional time involved and resources involved in pre-planning and expanding your disaster recovery strategy. It's really easy.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, the scalability is baked right in, whereas before, well, maybe you'd have to buy another SAN, put the SAN in place. Maybe you need some more compute nodes. And again, that's equipment that's just sitting there in most cases. So, I mean, Azure really comes to the rescue when it comes to DR here, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, let's head back to the office and finish up our chat together today.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, see you at the office. Well, Andy, in today's episode, we've been talking about disaster recovery and leveraging the cloud as our disaster recovery site, right, using Azure Site Recovery. Yep. And we saw some great options for being able to activate it in our Azure subscription and get it set up really quickly and easily from our on-premises System Center 2012 R2 Virtual Machine Manager server to the Azure Cloud, and also talked about the ability, if we happen to have a couple sites, of using Azure Site Recovery also just for orchestrating DR between those sites. So we can do DR to the cloud in Azure or do DR to our own second site if we happen to have that, all orchestrated and managed through Azure Site Recovery.
Yeah, so flexibility there.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. And like I said at the beginning of our episode, I'm really excited about the opportunity to make it easier for customers to use this, not only for DR, but also for migrating VM mm-hmm. workloads. That's really interesting because, you know, if you think about it, usually the most time-intensive process about migrating workloads to the cloud is getting your data up there in a fashion that's in sync so you can quickly cut over without having to worry about data gaps or things of that nature between on-prem and up in the cloud. And Azure Site Recovery does that for us automatically. Yep. And all we have to do is just fail over when we're ready to do that cut.
Yep, yeah, certainly it simplifies that process a lot for sure. And because the data is already there, you know, it just makes it a lot easier to define that cutoff time for data and just maybe copy the changes, you know, or, you know, just run more one more replication and you're done. Like you said, it just simplifies the whole process.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, hey, thanks so much, Andy, for joining us today and walking through Azure Site Recovery with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today for this episode of TechNet Radio on building our hybrid cloud and leveraging Azure Site Recovery as your disaster recovery plan at the cloud. I hope you'll join us for our next episode of Build Your Hybrid Cloud on TechNet Radio. Until then, feel free to check out my blog on the links below on this page at keithmuir.com and Andy's blog at SirWitchIT down at the bottom of the page. And also, be sure to check out some of the other great training resources that we have through our Early Experts program and Microsoft Virtual Academy. By leveraging those additional free training opportunities, you can get some really good hands-on exposure and become a hybrid cloud expert on our Microsoft Azure Hybrid Cloud, System Center Hybrid Cloud capabilities that we provide as part of our cloud strategy. So look forward to seeing you in Early Experts and Microsoft Virtual Academy down the road as well. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your day.
Have a good one.